Welcome to another Two Fat Brokers podcast or videocast, depending on how you like to consume us. I'm Barney from Dubai.
Ben from Abu Dhabi.
Today we are going to be talking about unicorns and other mythical beasts.
No, we're not. We're talking
yes, we
about
are.
Prop tech.
We're talking about the Gruffalo.
Gruffalo's real.
Okay. Granted. Tell us about Dubai's most recent unicorn, Benji.
Well, yeah, depending when this is coming out, we've just had word that Property Finder, for those of you, everyone knows who Property Finder is. It's a listing portal, Zillow and Rightmove, other examples. It has just received an investment of $525 million, not dirhams, from a couple of investing companies who are investors, and valuing it at $2 billion.
Holy moly.
Holy moly indeed. And so obviously, again, it's nice for the market where you get, I think it was BlackRock or Blackstone, one of those, where they are saying, we believe in the long-term future of real estate in the UAE to the extent that we're going to put a whole load of money into it in a relatively illiquid investment, because they see that there's a future in this market. It's not just boom and bust.
So how does one value a company like that? Now, they've come in and obviously, as you say, valued it at $2 billion and gone, okay, well, we'll give you $525 million. They're obviously looking at the books and they've gone, if we put in our $525 million, what, and current book trend or book value, is our return on investment likely to be? Or do they just take whatever profits the company are making that they're now eligible for, and do they just push them back into the company? How does it work?
Be a mixture of the two. Obviously, they're gonna look at cash flow. How much money does this thing make? But also the potential for growth. Now, they bought someone else's shares, so I don't know if there are any of that money is actually going to Property Finder. They bought out another investor, something like General Electric, but I can't remember the name, and they bought their shares originally in 2019 for $120 million. They didn't buy all their shares, but they're obviously investing. So
General
that
Electric?
It's not General Electric, it's General something.
General made-up company.
Yeah. So so they will, obviously, they'll get dividends from the cash flow, but more likely, they'll be looking at exiting at some time in the future, either from buyout from Property Finder or the person they invested in or someone else buying them at a higher valuation. So they see the potential in Property
Finder. So their hope is that Property Finder will then create enough income for them to have a share buyback in the future?
I mean, I don't know what their exit strategy would be, but more likely they'll sell it to someone else who, you know, once the valuation goes up. But Property Finder unlikely to buy them out, but, you know, that could be part of the agreement, who knows.
So Property Finder have the Property Finder real estate arm, where real estate agents like what you and I is, pay them a monthly subscription, and we get credits, and we use those credits to advertise properties on their portal.
And they're all over the Middle East. They're in Egypt as well, and other countries too.
And they have a mortgage arm.
They do.
Mortgage Finder. Any other facets to this company?
And worthwhile mentioning, because we're going to talk about more broadly about prop tech, that a couple of the mortgage companies have also received pretty big US dollar in the tens of millions of US dollar investments. Guys like Holo, guys like Husby, guys like Prepco. Guys like Prepco. So there does seem to be some investor sentiment where they're seeing this value in, because Property Finder is basically prop tech. They're seeing value in, you know, these platforms, which to be honest, I find a bit unusual. Like with all these mortgage companies, obviously they do make money, but I don't think that, you know, for someone who's looked at their systems, I don't think their systems are a massive, like, kind of technological advance.
Is it data driven?
I think to be honest, all of it is not. It's not a prop tech play. I don't think, if you look at Property Finder, I don't think that is such a, you know, brilliantly complicated system that it's worth loads of money in and of itself.
I mean, they have a massive market share. Every city or every country have a Property Finder.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Yeah. And so they have a massive market share. It's an oligopoly basically between two companies, Property Finder, and then you've got Dubizzle and Bayou owned by the same company. Mm. So the whole of the market share is split between those two, which is a fantastically powerful position to be in, because they can, you know, they can not set any price that they want, because they're still competing to a certain extent with Google and Meta, but they dominate the market. So they can really, get a lot of money and value out of that, and they have a huge amount of power in the market. I mean, brokers need them, right? I mean, not at your end, where you're mostly working kind of on referrals.
I mean, we had another company that was a conglomerate of Allsop and Allsop, Espace, or two others, and they launched their own. Where did that go?
Yeah, it began with an H, didn't it? Home.
Hope this makes us some money.
No, we've got a real estate company in Abu Dhabi called Homie.
Homie.
I love that name.
Homie Houses?
Yeah.
Homie Realty?
So there was, and it was, I think it was particularly after COVID, there was a lot of backlash against so a good example of the way Property Finder and Beyut have a strong grip on the market is you sign up for a year and you don't have a break clause. And I assume that's still the same. That's certainly the same with us. And so after COVID, a lot of the real estate companies said, we want a break clause because, you know, we don't want to sign up for another year. We don't know where this market's going, you know, and the big portals were able to hold the line and say, you know, there's other things we can give you, but that's an important, you know, thing that we're not willing to give you. And so part of that, you know, meant that the agencies actually kind of looked around, and some of the big ones, as you say, started their own property portal. I don't remember the name of it now. It's not a good sign. I don't know where it went.
I don't think.
But
it's
there was. Own. But there, I mean, was
the issue with
backlash.
With a real estate company setting up its own portal is you're basically saying to other real estate companies, give us your information. You can trust us. We're real estate agents. And every other real estate, I mean, they approached us as small a faction of a company as we are. They approached us. And your immediate response is, I ain't giving you my client details. I'm not giving you my seller's information, which is what you'd need to market my property.
Well, that's if a single company sets it up. You'd set up an independent company, and then everyone will be shareholders. So you'd set up an independent company to hold all that information.
It's still the same thing.
It's not.
It is.
How do you mean?
Well, somebody has access to the back end of that independent company.
Someone has access to Property Finder's back end.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't see your point.
Well, there's no vested interest in Property Finder giving out that information. Property Finder don't sell houses, whereas real estate companies do sell houses.
Yeah, but those real estate companies would just be shareholders. They wouldn't be operating the company. Yeah, but the point being, independently.
It takes one person to put their fingers in the cookie jar, and real estate agents are, one, notoriously distrusting of other real estate companies, and two, notoriously protective over their clients. And you're asking, no, you can trust us. It's a totally different company. Yeah, we're shareholders in it, but it's a totally, no, it was never going to work well.
Well, I mean, it has worked in other places. I think Singapore, some of the big companies got together and started their own.
I think maybe what is even it? In the UK. What are they called? It's an American company that are taking Zillow to court.
Right move?
No.
Countrywide?
No, I've done business with them. My memory is getting so bad for names.
The NRA.
They're taking the NRA to
National Rifle Association. Anyway,
I'll remember
move
the
on.
Names.
You're like an old person now. You're going to spend five hours trying to think of the name.
Because I'm mates with one of them on Instagram.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll talk while you fiddle around with your phone. So the investment is really in this oligopoly, because those portals, obviously, as the real estate market grows, they are able to sell more credits because there's more advertisements, there's more property being sold, and they have a very strong negotiating position with real estate agents, to the extent that they can change things. And I don't know if you remember this, in the old days there were just standard listings, and then they brought in these featured, hot, premium, all of these other things. And what they do is they create their own competition. So you, because someone gets a premium, they go to the top, and then you say, okay, well, I need a premium, I need to go to the top, because they're in a really interesting business. They generate leads, And their job is then to sell those leads as expensively as they can to real estate agents like us. And we buy those leads. So they're able to package those leads in kind of different ways and make them more expensive to get. And,
well, no, they know, make, and they, generate the higher revenue the value of the way. Lead, they make it more expensive. Which is interesting because they don't generate very many high value leads. But you know, so a lead for a, let's say a lead for a one bedroom rental in the marina is worth, you know, 5 dirhams, and a lead for a 100 million dirham buyer in Emirates Hills is worth 150.
They don't charge per lead, they charge per listing. So yeah,
no, they charge per credit.
If you
and each listing is worth higher or lower amounts of credits.
I mean, so they charge per listing. So depending where your listing is, that is how they then market the credit. So if you've got a terrible listing with terrible pictures and doesn't generate any leads, you still pay. So they're in a very, very strong position, and it's and in this market, it's incredibly difficult to break in. We've all, you know, there's
well, how long have Property Finder been around for? They've certainly been around for at least 15 years. I don't remember them being when I first moved here in 2008, everything was done on the in papers.
You know, yeah,
they had the what was it? The property paper was called back then, and then Property Finder must be 12, 13 years old. Must be.
Yeah, probably older.
That's pretty good going for a company to go in 12 or 13 years to be worth $2 billion.
Yeah. They've done an amazing job. They dominate the market. I don't know how you cut it up between them and Beit, but I think, you know, they both have different ways of measuring it.
We signed an exclusivity agreement with Property Finder, so we don't use their competitors.
Okay.
So you gave us better terms. I mean, the kind of things that we list make that company look better anyway, I think. Okay. So they should be paying.
They should be paying you.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand that property. I fundamentally have a problem with those portals anyway.
Why?
I think they overcharge. I think they overcharge massively. You know, some of the bigger companies. Yeah.
What makes you think they overcharge?
Because they're worth $2 billion and they've been out for 13 years. What do you mean? How do I know they overpay?
How long has Tesla been around for?
I have no idea. How long has Tesla been
around? It's worth over $1 trillion. Like, you know, it's not based on longevity. But they are able to charge more, and they charge us more. So I used to buy credits at 25 dirhams a credit, and now it's like more like 60. Dirhams a lead. Now it's more like 60. So it is going up, but they're able to charge more because the market's doing well. So real estate agents are making more money. So they're like, okay, you're making more money. You know, we will take a percentage of the market because we, you know, we control a lot of your marketing spend and your ability to get leads. So as you do well, we will also do well. And they are able to say, you know, however far the market's going, they're taking a percentage, small percentage of that market and the commissions that go with it.
God, you're boring.
That's business. Business is boring but profitable.
Isn't it funny how you and I are so polarizingly different? I'm much more about the human side of things than you just drone on about numbers.
About numbers.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah.
So, I like to talk about how things make you feel. I like to talk about the emotional side of things and reach people on a one-to-one level. You and I, our numbers are great and I love numbers.
Yeah. You know, people are unpredictable. Numbers, you know, they never lie.
They've never hurt you, have they, numbers?
People lie. But also, so that's just one prop tech. And then you've got these mortgage companies.
So why are the mortgage companies making money? They've got, I mean, you know, what is typically, what's the percentage a mortgage company will make if you get a mortgage from them? I have no idea.
Very little, I think. You know,
so how are they worth much money? They've got to be doing high volumes.
Yeah, I imagine they do pretty high volumes. I don't imagine they make more than, you know, 5-10 grand. Well, depending on how big the mortgage is, but obviously the mortgage market here is still dominated by the banks. People go to their bank or go to a bank. You know, mortgage providers, they're still quite small, and I think the gamble is that, or the bet is from these guys that will change. That more and more people will go to independent mortgage advisors. And so their business will grow and their income will grow. But I don't think it's a bet on prop tech because I don't think the technology that these guys use is particularly, you know, particularly
I'm doing
well.
A search to find out what percentage.
It's important that you do Google searches in the middle of our podcast. I mean, that's why people are here, to watch you look at longingly.
It's important,
at your phone.
Right? Okay, so historically, since 2018, cash payment account for 84.4% of real estate deals in Dubai, whilst mortgages made up just 15.6% of secondary market transactions.
Wow. That's interesting. I don't think it's any cash is nearly as strong in Abu Dhabi.
Other
I think
we've got much this more is mortgages. UAE. This is UAE.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Dubai. My question to ChatGPT was in the UAE. Others estimate in the region has suggested that 70 to 80% of property transactions in Dubai were cash-based. It's not me asking Dubai. This is just ChatGPT going, well, no one cares about Abu Dhabi. We'll just talk about Dubai.
Yeah, we have the figures in Abu Dhabi. I could check for sure. That market is still massive. And I think the more we're talking on another podcast about more Brits coming into the UAE. Brits will be used to using mortgages. They will be used to using independent mortgage advisors. The more I think you get international buyers coming in, the more the mortgage market will grow.
I've sold to 4 Brits in the last year. All of them were cash.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
So that flies in
nice
your
Nice work
face.
If you can get it.
Yeah, look, I mean,
do they understand the principle
point
of leverage?
Being, right, if we're talking about the value of real of mortgage companies, if 80%, call it 80% for argument's sake, 80% of transactions are cash, these 3 big mortgage companies are squabbling over 15% of market share. They can't be making that much money. So why are they getting such big investment?
Well, so I was talking to one of the big banks in Abu Dhabi last year, and they were doing $1 billion worth of business a month.
Of mortgages?
Yeah.
In Abu Dhabi?
Mortgages in Abu Dhabi, yeah. So,
which bank was it?
I can't tell you. Right. So there obviously is that market, you know. It's small now, but I think it has to grow because most people just don't have that amount of cash lying
around. So this is basically what we're saying is all of these guys who are investing in all of these prop tech companies are massively, well, they're all completely hedging against the fact that the UAE real estate market is in a strong position.
Yeah. I don't think they're buying tech. Because I don't think that the tech is that impressive. I think they're buying market position. They're saying Husby, Holo, and Prupco, you know, have got, you know, this amount of market share, and they're gonna keep that market share or do better, and the market is gonna rise, and so their incomes will rise, you know, commensurately.
Hmm.
Which makes it interesting. I wonder why they don't invest in real estate companies. You never see about these big, maybe they wouldn't advertise it. Why isn't someone investing in better homes, in FAM, in...
They're not worth anything. We've discussed this on a previous podcast.
Are they not? Those big ones,
though. Not really worth anything.
Well, again, but they don't have any proprietary, you know, information or anything like that. But I don't think these mortgage companies do either. But they do have really strong dominant market positions. They have strong cash flow. Why don't people invest in them?
Because the assets of a real estate company are non-paid employees and they can leave whenever they want.
Yes.
So you could have 30% of FAM properties, not that I'm wishing this upon for us, but 30% of FAM properties leave in an afternoon and all of a sudden your assets are stripped by 30%.
Yeah, but they've still got a very strong market position and they can hire those guys back in. You know, you'd never buy a real estate company because they're so dependent on their founders.
But what's a market position worth if all of your assets have gone? All of your cash generating assets?
But I mean, that doesn't tend to happen. Like, again, when you talk about, let's say one of these mortgage providers, you know, that their, you know, market position could be eroded by someone coming in and doing what they do, but for cheaper. I mean, you can always get out competed. You can always, you know, lose these things. But the good thing about Property Finder is it's such like a strong
income
position. They've got such a strong.
You can't bank on. You can't bank. Well, I suppose mortgage companies aren't fixed income either, are they? I mean, one of the things that you obviously do to value a company, as you know, and you probably taught me, is that companies are really worth what the income that you can project into the future, right? 6x earnings, how you value a company. You can't really do that with a real estate company because there's no fixed income. Now, if you've got a property management company with contracts and fixed incomes, they're worth something.
I mean, so...
And also, it's free to set up a real estate company.
So fixed income is different, but let's say Property Finder's got these yearly contracts, which is coming up all the time. mortgage companies, they don't have any like contracts where they can, you know, or maybe some of them might have contracts with developers where they get priority access to people, you know, on projects that are handing over, but it's not guaranteed income. Like they don't have guaranteed income. They're still all of them reliant on the real estate market, and the real estate market's pretty fickle.
So why are people not investing in real estate companies?
That's a great question.
I'm glad I asked that.
Yeah. And I think it's probably the fickleness of the fact that they're so reliant on founders. They're so reliant on these people who began them. And those people are so
totemic
important.
Leaders.
Yeah. And those people are so important that, you know, you would have to, you know, lock them in for the life of your investment. Also, there is a big issue with real estate companies is if someone were to give you 10 million and a 10 million, you know, dirham investment in your real estate company, what would you spend it on? Like realistically, what could you spend it on? Hiring more people?
Interesting you should say that. We were recently offered a sum of money for a percentage of our company. And Fabrizio and I were wondering what we would use the money for.
Yeah, it's hard.
It wasn't a life-changing amount of money. We were like, well, would we put it back into the company?
Yeah, it's not easy because you can't, like, let's say, invest it in product or research or a factory or, you know, anything like that. You know, you have to hire people, and I don't know if that amount of money, you know, maybe you go out to some big swingers and offer them $500,000 dirhams to come on, you know, and work for your company for X number of years. But that's probably the only way where you could really generate a lot of value for your company with an investment like that.
Yeah, I mean, the temptation would be to actually, you know, spend it on an office, spend it on liveried cars, you know, spend it on building a brand, you know, get some PR people into you, right, build the brand. Kind of unquantifiable spends on your money, right? That's the weird thing. It's you just wouldn't know what to do with it to make sure that you are adding value to the company that you've just drawn cash out of.
Yeah, so someone investing in a real estate company will be like, okay, what are you going to do with all this money? How are you going to make this asset that I've just bought more valuable? And I think, as you say, for real estate companies, it's hard. Like, it's hard to think, like, okay, where would I put all that money that would be really valuable?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So how are you going to take more market share? The only way that I could think of that would be to go out and bribe some really, like, great real estate agents to come and join you.
Yeah, there was a well-known brand that did that in the UK.
Yeah.
They bought the rights to their name in the UK and spent big on, uncharacteristically big for the UK, and bought what they thought were producing real estate agents, and they swung and missed, unfortunately, with a lot of them.
Really? Because even, like, I just thought of that now. Now I'm thinking, like, ooh, I wonder how much it would cost to get one of these really amazing real estate agents, like, prize them out of where they are.
You'd
now
have to do it with a commission. I mean,
nah, but commission doesn't cost you
if
any
someone
money.
Turned around to me and said, I'll give you $500,000 dirhams to join us, I'd be like, no. Would have to be a lot of money. I mean, don't forget, I don't know in Abu Dhabi, but the big brokers here are earning millions and millions, 12, 13, 14, 20, 30 million dirhams a year. $500,000 dirhams is not going to move the needle.
Well, I don't think maybe you'd be able to get those massive guys, but to get, you know, tier two, you know, if you'd be like, hey, there's $100,000, you know, come and join me, we'll match whatever you're on now, you know, whatever that would be, 60, 70% split.
If I was clever, I'd just go back to my employer and go, look what I've just been offered.
Maybe. But then you'd have to say, okay, but you need to be with me for 2 years or whatever it is. And then you hope that, you know, the culture of your business and the way your you know, the other offering is going to kind of keep them in.
Mm.
And we've slightly gone off topic.
No, that would be a good podcast for another day.
Wouldn't it?
Well, I think that kind of wraps everything up. You know, yeah.
If you're a big producer and you've got a price, send it over. Well, I will take a look at it.
Manila envelope, brother. Yeah. You'll get home to your front door just being rammed with manila envelopes.
Yeah,
listen, I've been Barney from Dubai. Thank you for joining us.
I've been Ben from Abu Dhabi.
We'll see you again.
Bye-bye.